blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Herald salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Hallelujah. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of God. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, walking his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we rejoice today in that wonderful Christ. Want to speak of him once again. The message today. Let's turn to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18. And we will begin with verse 1. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren, for the Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. This shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. They shall give unto the priest the shoulder, the two cheeks, and the maw. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shall thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. I want to bring another message on proclaiming the name of the Lord. And today our subject is, we must minister in the name of the Lord. Verse 5 of this chapter, the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord. The first thing I want to notice about this and emphasize about it is that this message applies to everyone, every member of the body of Christ. We are not just talking about those who might stand behind a pulpit or teach a class or something of this nature. We have long said that there are no useless members in the body of Christ. Every member of the body has a ministry. And so all of these principles that we will view here today apply to all of us and not just a select few. And so it is important for us to understand, imperative for us to understand, what does it mean to minister in the name of the Lord? And I trust that by the time we finish this message, we will understand that ministering in the name of the Lord means that we do it as though it were the Lord himself, because that's exactly what we're talking about. He is in heaven, but he is using us to accomplish his purpose on earth. We must remember, we must learn and understand that such ministry is God's idea. And then we need to understand that it is God who sends and ordains such a minister to a certain ministry. The Apostle Paul will not turn there, but you can put this reference down. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul said it this way. Now then, we are ambassadors, or we are representatives for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Notice the personal hand that God puts in this matter, puts his hand on individuals in order to accomplish what he wants to do. And so, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, notice, in Christ's stead. We pray as Christ would pray, that you would be reconciled unto God. And of course, that ministry of reconciliation is just one ministry that God has. And so it is a matter of ministering in the name of the Lord. It means that we represent him. Now, this same pattern is also seen of one speaking in the name of the Lord. We find in this same chapter words of warning. Let's go down to verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name. There is the ministry of speaking the word of God in the name of the Lord. We must do it time after time after time. But notice that God makes a distinction here and says not everyone that says they're speaking in the name of the Lord actually is. Notice this, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. There is a severe penalty in Scripture for those who say, I am giving you a message from God, and yet it's not. This one carries the penalty of death. It is a very weighty thing for a person to say, I'm telling you what the Lord said to do. Notice verse 21. If you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Well, here is one way, verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. If what they say, they prophesy, and it's often done, if it doesn't come to pass, God says, you know, I didn't say it, because what I say does come to pass. It will be fulfilled. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, you'll not be afraid of him. And so today, I want to encourage our hearts. When we hear things in the name of the Lord, measure them by the word of God. If they don't measure up to what God said in his word, they are not true. So don't worry about it, he says. And we must understand that if we are going to speak in the name of the Lord, then what we say must match up with God's word. God has said to us in the word, this is the word I want you to make known. This is what I want you to speak. That is what it means to speak in the name of the Lord. Real speaking in the name of the Lord is bringing a message that is from God. I want to notice here in verse 5, there are ways, there are things, principles that are true in regard to speaking or preaching or ministering in the name of the Lord. The first thing that must be true in our lives, if we indeed would minister in the name of the Lord, is that he must choose us. Notice verse 5. The Lord thy God has chosen him, that is Levi. God chose the tribe of Levi in order to attend the things of the tabernacle. Then he chose the family of Aaron to be a priest. Now, there were many Levites, but the priesthood came out of only one family of Levi, which is Aaron. It is God who must choose a person for a certain ministry. And so the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord. He is still doing the same thing today. If we are ever going to succeed in ministry, we have to be chosen of the Lord. A person cannot appoint himself. We cannot pick and choose what we want to do. We have seen some people who admired the ministry of someone else so much. Well, I want to do that too. We cannot do it unless God has chosen us to do it. God has chosen you for the gifts that he has given you to minister to the rest of the body of Christ. He has called you into this place, and it is up to each one of us to ascertain and to understand and to listen to the voice of the Lord as to what that ministry is. He chooses whom he will to serve in that certain capacity. And then I want to notice, you back up to verse 3, because this really is, this is true of any ministry. Every ministry, ministering in the name of the Lord, actually centers around redemption. Notice verse 3. This shall be the priest due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice. It was the job of the priest to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. This is another way that we measure our effectiveness in ministry. Are we interested in the people to whom we minister, or are we more interested in ourselves and what it will accomplish for us? It is so very important. Ministering in the name of the Lord means that we must have the same spirit and desire and ambition as Jesus has. And that was not for himself. He considered not himself, but he ministered unto other people. We too must realize that if we are really going to minister, it must be for the benefit of others. And so these sacrifices bring us back to the same fact. Our ministry must center around redemption, around what Christ has done, what Christ has provided. We don't have anything to give people unless we receive that which God has given to us through the redemption of Christ Jesus. We must indeed minister in that regard. There are those who minister for what they can get out of it. I read just the other day of some ministers who have become extremely wealthy. And they can take whatever God gives them. But this is what I want to notice for us. Because God hasn't forgotten the minister. God says you will get your inheritance. He outlines what these Levites were to get. They didn't get an inheritance along with the rest of the people. God had his special way of giving them an inheritance. That has not changed. God still has his special way of rewarding his ministry. But what I want to understand is that much of what a true minister receives, he may not get until eternity. He may not get it until after he leaves this life. But that is the heart of a true minister, to leave his reward unto the Lord. And we must not get into the idea of trying to collect our reward, even at the expense of the flock of God today. To minister in the name of the Lord means that one must concentrate on those to whom he ministers rather than his own self. It is the same spirit as that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember how that Jesus gave himself, and indeed he poured out himself for the good of the church, as we read there in Ephesians. I want to turn to the third chapter of Colossians, and we see some specific things in association with ministry in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3, and let us go down to verse 17. Paul says it this way, whatsoever you do, notice this, in word or in deed, whether you are speaking or whether God is using you in service for someone else to render some kind of service for a particular need, it doesn't make any difference. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We must do it as though he were doing it. We are his representative. He is working through us in order to accomplish his objective. And so we read, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is a conclusion that Paul draws from things that he has already said in this chapter. We could probably go back to even the first verse, speaking of how we have been risen up with Christ. And that's the only way we will ever minister, is we find our place in resurrection with Christ, realizing that he has raised us up in newness of life. And you can follow that all the way down through here. But I just want to back up to verse 14, because Paul puts an emphasis here. He puts a priority on these words, and we find that we must have these same priorities in our lives if we are going to minister in the name of the Lord, or indeed minister as Jesus would minister. Verse 14, and above all these things, give a priority to these verses which are coming, Paul says. Above all things, put on charity, or put on love. Any ministry in the name of the Lord must be motivated by divine love rather than my personal gain. We read that God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus loved the church that he laid down his life for it. That's the same spirit of divine love that God wants in our lives. Jesus was always prompted by divine love. We read the multiple times in the scripture that even look on the crowds and the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. And because of that, he did something about it. God is doing the same thing through the lives of his people today, giving us compassion for those in need and being able to minister in the name of the Lord. I often think of a missionary. She is home with the Lord now, Sister Myrtle Huff, missionary to Africa. And I remember when she came to the Bible school, my first year in school, and she was speaking of ministering to the people there. And she went before the Lord and she said, "Lord, if I'm going to minister to these people, I'm going to have to love them. You must give me a love for them." And God did that. And this is the same thing in our lives, that we must indeed be motivated by divine love. We must put on charity, as we find here, if we are really going to minister in the name of the Lord. Notice further, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is the peace of God. We have pointed out the difference. Peace with God we get when we are saved, when we're born again and realize that we're no longer an enemy of God. This is the peace of God. This is the same peace that God, the same tranquility that God enjoys constantly. It means that you and I must have peace insofar as the ministry he has given unto us. We have to be controlled, motivated, indeed by peace. Now, notice what we read here in regard to the peace that we are talking about. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. We must be at peace with the body. We must be at peace with what we are doing, the confidence that God has given us. And we must believe God for that confidence, that we are where he wants us to be. We are doing what he wants us to do. That is the way to minister in the name of the Lord. And it is vitally important that we come to this place. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We will never be able to minister unto anyone unless the word of God is abiding in our own hearts. You have heard me say it again and again and again. We cannot give what we do not have. We must appropriate God's word for ourselves before we are able to give it out to other people. And so let the word dwell in you. We must become examples of God's word in our own lives before we're able to give it unto other people. That is true, once again, of every member of the body of Christ. Because of the effect that God's word has had on my life, I am able to minister unto others, regardless of what that need might be. Let the word of Christ, it begins with the word of God. We must put a priority on the word of God in our own experience, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace. Singing indicates victory. We do what we do, be it menial tasks, service, whatever it might be, singing with gladness and grace in your heart unto the Lord. Victorious, not against our will, not unwillingly, but singing, rejoicing in the ministry that God has given unto us. And then Paul comes to this conclusion. He just sums it all up. Whatsoever. It doesn't make any difference. You may be speaking to people, as I'm doing this morning, but there are also menial tasks, tasks of service, tasks where we have to get up and put some physical effort into it in order to help with whatever. And I have seen that. I rejoice today. I have seen that in this assembly. And I glory in the Lord for those who have taken time and the initiative to minister to others in need without being told about it, without being asked or anything of that nature. They're motivated by what God did in their own hearts. What a joy that is. That is ministering in the name of the Lord. And so whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, the way he would do it. And then notice this, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we must indeed have that thankful heart if we are truly going to minister in the name of the Lord. I want to close with an example of another who ministered in the name of the Lord. Let's go to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. This is such a wonderful message for people who might think, well, I'm just unworthy. You don't know what I've done. No, and I don't want to. You don't have any idea the crimes I'm guilty of. Nor do I want to. This is a record of Saul of Tarsus, who was a murderer, who was a blasphemer, who was a destroyer. And yet God picked him up out of the dust, and he made him one who could and did minister in the name of the Lord. The 9th chapter of Acts, let's go down to verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. I want to point out a very important component of ministering in the name of the Lord. We saw very early in this message that if one is going to minister, he must be chosen of the Lord. He can't just self-appoint himself and do what he wants to do. Saul of Tarsus was not self-appointed. Back up to verse 15. This is God's message, Jesus' message to Ananias. He says it this way. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, that is Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel. Chosen just as surely as God chose the Levites in the Old Testament, he has been chosen for ministry, the same way that we must be chosen. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him. Let us understand, if God has chosen you for ministry, he will show you what he wants you to do. And so it is. It may be with consequence and pain, as we find it was with Saul of Tarsus, but he was willing to do that. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so here is Saul of Tarsus, converted. But you will notice that the people were afraid of him. This is where we must understand that we cannot force ourselves on other people. We may have their good in mind. We may think we have exactly what they need. But until we get an invitation, until we get an entrance, there's nothing we can do. And so Saul of Tarsus, though he wanted to join himself to the disciples, they were terrified of him, and I can tell you that if a congregation is terrified of their preacher, they are not going to receive very much from him. He must win their confidence. He must have that peace that we already mentioned there in Colossians 3. And so you will notice that God has his ways. They were terrified of him in verse 26, but in verse 27, Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. This is what must happen with everyone who would minister in the name of the Lord. He must have that personal encounter and experience with the Lord, just like Saul did. It may not be as dramatic, but I mean that every person who is going to minister in the name of the Lord must have a personal revelation of Christ and his word. There's no substitute for that. And so the Apostle Paul, as he became, had that personal relationship and revelation of Christ there on the road to Damascus. And so you will notice he had seen the Lord in the way. The Lord had spoken to him. And notice this, how he had preached boldly at Damascus. His preaching was a result of the experience he had with the Lord. And that is the same pattern for our lives today. It is only to the degree that we receive from him that we are able to give out unto other people. And you will notice he preached boldly. Saul was not stupid. Saul had been among those who had severely persecuted the disciples for ministering and preaching in the name of Jesus. He knew exactly what he was getting into, but it didn't make any difference. He was bold because he believed what he said. He believed the gospel. He believed the word of God that he was preaching. And you and I, when we have a revelation of God's truth, I guarantee you, whether we're ministering publicly, one-on-one or what, we can be bold in the assurance, this is truth that I am giving unto you. And so he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Verse 29, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. That doesn't mean that we're to go out and argue about the scripture. That will not accomplish anything. But you will notice the Apostle Paul did not allow them to put anything back on him. He did not detract from the truth that he knew. And beloved, in our wicked world today, we cannot back down from the truth that we know. We must declare it. We must set it forth. And this is exactly what Paul did, Saul of Tarsus did, when he indeed spoke in the name of the Lord. But notice one final point about Saul's ministry and the ministry that God would give unto us. You will notice they went about to slay him. I can tell you that if we are going to declare truth, get ready for persecution, because it will come. Came to Jesus. If we speak in the name of Jesus, if we minister in the name of the Lord, expect persecution and be ready to believe God to stand up in spite of that persecution. It is so imperative that we indeed come to this place in our lives. And we also must say this and take it to our own hearts. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Regardless of come what may, let us have that rejoicing and thankful heart, even though preaching, ministering in the name of the Lord may bring persecution and hardship. It is imperative if we would truly minister in the name of the Lord.